Today we are going to read a scripture we read, I believe, last week or very recently. And it's in, I'll start my reading in the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians. And I want to speak this morning on something that I haven't spoke on and used this for a subject before. Although we've been all around it. But I want to speak on this morning an apostolic ministry to engage us to Christ and an apostolic ministry to get us married to Christ. Amen. Now we speak on this, we're going to read about what Paul did. And Paul knew when he was speaking towards the last that God was going to take him home, the Lord showed him. And he told the saints there in Ephesus that I know you'll not see my face anymore and so on. And the Lord let him know that I'm going to take you on home, Paul, but this message is going to go on. You've accomplished what I've ordained for you to do. And he could have said something like this: Paul, I know that you're not going to understand this, but it's the way it's supposed to be, see? Because here's why. Paul came to catch that early part of the bride and get them a spouse to Christ. But see, God knew that the marriage wouldn't take place for another 2,000 years, see, and that the church would go through seven church ages, but he would come back, the same Christ that was taking the bride for engagement. In other words, he gave her, she was wearing his ring, that early church was, as engagement. But the marriage were to be given in this last day. Praise the Lord. So those are the things I want you to notice as we go along this morning, because we're living in a tremendous, tremendous time. And the greatest time since the world began, as far as I'm concerned, where God is making known, revealing, he's taking unto himself a people, amen, to be his wife, amen, out of the Gentiles. Now, we've brought it in many times before. There's other things God's doing that don't specifically relate to us. There's tribulation saints, there's foolish virgins, and there's the Jews, and different ones that don't relate specifically to the bride and to the wife of the Lamb. See, God ordained Paul to call out a people of the Gentiles for his name's sake. Amen. And he said, I am the apostle to the Gentile. Now some might say, well, is there going to be a lot of the apostles? Well, there was 12 to Israel, but there was only one with a message for the Gentile to call out the Gentile. And if there's others, they will speak exactly the same thing Paul did, because he said, these things you heard me say to Titus and Timothy, said, you go and speak the same thing and teach others that they may speak the same thing. Amen. Showing that he came for that specific purpose, and when he got that job done, God took him home. Amen. And before he left, as he was looking at the overall picture, he saw the marriage. He saw the coming together. He saw the ministry. And he laid it down in the Word, and it's called prophetic word. Unfulfilled word. Amen. That is to be fulfilled in our time. But then God, towards the end, said, now, Paul, you're not going to be able to do all this. And so I'm going to take you on home. But it will be what I've shown you. See, just like with Abraham and David and many of the old saints of God, in the Old Testament, God would tell them certain things, what's going to be, and so forth. But says, I'm going to take you home. You're going to sleep with your father. In other words, you're going to die, be buried. But this will be. Even Daniel, in the book of Daniel, he showed Daniel many things that would be at the end time. He said, but Daniel, go your way. Seal it up and go your way. This will be for the end time. So Daniel prophesied about it, but God let him know it's not going to happen in your day, Daniel. It's going to be for the end time. So God gave Paul many things that would take place. He told him about a marriage, about a wife becoming bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, and then he took him home, see. But it didn't change the word. The word laid right there, and the church fell away and went through seven church ages. And all those seven church ages, God was gathering in certain members of the bride that was allotted for that time period, see. And they're laying in the ground, the bodies is, but they're rejoicing all. And they went into their theotomy, waiting till Jesus gets ready to take all the wife home, see? Amen. It's recorded there in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, 4th chapter. The Lord Himself sent heaven with a shout, the voice of archangel. Amen. But He said, those that are dead, those that are asleep, will God bring with Him, see? He'll bring them. And they're right here among us now. Paul said, you've already come to it. And that might have been some prophecy involved in that. Said, you've come to where the angels at. You've come to where the spirits of just men at. You've come to all this. Paul, you've come to all this now. That's Hebrews chapter 12. See? So, Christ brings all that. It's among us now. The angels of the Lord. All that God, the theotomy is being seen by some, and we're there at the marriage supper, amen. Getting and taking place. We're eating the word. See, Revelation 10 says He gives us a little book, and He said, "Eat, take, and eat." See, amen. And I'll tell you right now, it tastes good. I love sweets, and the little book is as sweet as honey, amen. When we begin to apply it, it may be some bitterness there. But let's pray before I read my scripture. Heavenly Father, as we come now, Lord, and stand before the people and the people that will be hearing this on up till You come, and maybe even till You take the bride away, and even maybe after, Lord. And I know that it will accomplish that what You've ordained. And Lord, and You don't always tell us this going to do this or this word's going to do that. And many times, Lord, it just plays out as You have ordained. But I pray You bless us this morning that we may speak the things that would please You for today. And we'll be so careful to praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, when Paul came forth with a message, most of what Paul said... And I don't want you to miss this point here. Most of what Paul said was not written on tables of stone, what they did, or on the, they used scrolls, and it was made out of leather sometimes copper, and they preserved certain words of the Old Testament and so on. But Paul came with a message that weren't for any of those people. Amen. The Old Testament's for the Jewish thing. Amen. The Jewish people, most of it, but it lays there as a prophetic thing. But when God came, struck Paul down, and He told him, you're going to the Gentile, then Paul had to, his name was Saul at the time, he had to gather himself up and said, what is this? Where's it at in the Word? And he went down, it said, and stayed for about 3 years alone, just studying and praying and meditating. He went down to Arabia, it said, and he said, 3 years, he went up and so on like that. But he began to get what God wanted him to do, and he found out most of it weren't written at all. It was a word, spoken word of God, see. Amen. And he tells about it. I'm going to read this morning, 2 Corinthians and 3rd chapter. But let's read this, show you what Paul's job was. And this is a recently read scripture, possibly last week. So, I'd like to read 2 Corinthians 11th chapter. And I'll start verse 1. Would to God that you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. And of course, we'll explain the folly. He was having to vindicate his ministry before the people, letting them know God's ordained him to do this. And it sounded like boasting, but it weren't boasting. It was what God ordained him to do. And the next verse, Paul said, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused or introduced, I've given you the ring now. I've espoused you to one husband, watch now, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. And that he did say. Amen. But that's not the marriage now. And we've brought in many times that there's no wife that's a virgin, because it takes the consummation of the marriage, man, woman come together, become one flesh. Now the marriage in two parts, there's the ceremonial part, and everybody partakes of it. The friends, the relatives, the neighbors, and all that. But the marriage, the consummation of the marriage, that's only between two people, the man and wife, see. Amen. And so this is just between us and Christ, now at the marriage time. A lot of times people say, well, maybe we ought to go out here to the denomination, go out here to some of these, or you know, have many different opinions. But the marriage is for Christ and his wife. It's just like if a man got married, he don't go out and get all his the girlfriends that he may have had or all that he knows or something and bring them to his house in bed with him and his wife, because that's for the two to become one flesh, see. Amen. So God is bringing a people together with his word for this day and for this hour, and they can't hear anything else because their ears are tuned just to the word for the day and hour that we're living in, see. So Paul, he's saying here, I've espoused you as chestnut, but he said, but I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled through his subtlety, your mind should be corrupt from the simplicity that's in Christ. Yes, I read this last week. All right. For if he that cometh preach another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel. He's showing them here, it has to be the Jesus I preach. And of course, we brought him last night. He brought Christ 400 and something times. He preached Christ in the Spirit. Amen. Not so much in the flesh, in the Spirit. And he said, if you receive another Spirit, that was a Spirit that went with the message that Paul had. Amen. And it weren't the Spirit that went with what Peter preached. Because when the Jews came down to one of Paul's meetings, it records it in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts. They came in the church, and of course the pastor there was generous and gracious and had them speak, but they began to preach, except you be circumcised and keep the law, you cannot be saved. And it got some of them all shook up. So Paul came down, and I suppose he got about half mad. Amen. He said, I'm going up to Jerusalem. We're going to put a stop to this. That's not the gospel that God gave me. That's all right for the Jews, and they still believe it today. I was talking to a Jewish man just recently about the New Testament. He said, what do you mean, New Testament? You ain't got but one Bible, what Moses wrote and the prophets, you know. Because if they accept a New Testament, they'll have to say that's the Old Testament. Amen. So they won't say we got a New Testament. They'll say we got a Testament, meaning up to the time up to the Malachi, see. Amen. So that's the way they're supposed to be until God get ready. And I say that because of this. The Bible says God blinded them that he could take out the Gentiles, the people for His namesake, so it's going just exactly like it's supposed to be one of these days. And we don't know when it'll be. It could start 40 days over. There's going to be a shake-up in the land of Israel. They're going to get the rest of the land back. Amen. They're going to have such decisive victories over there. Amen. That there's people like Saudi Arabia and the different ones that gets in there, Dedan and all those. And I'm not going to go through all, and you get in Ezekiel there. How that they're going to recognize the God of Israel and bring gold and silver and some of that oil money they got, spend it over there building a temple, say. Amen. And they'll milk the Gentiles, it says. And so on, they'll bring their sons and daughters of strangers will come and build that. So all that's going to take place soon, but this is something different from that. See, this is something deeply spiritual, and there's a spirit that went with Paul's message. He says, if you receive another Jesus, and what is receiving another Jesus? Something besides what Paul preached. If you receive another spirit, that was a spirit with that message that caused them to see eye to eye, speak the same thing, amen, and recognize apostolic ministry and recognize it was Jesus Christ talking and not Paul. Amen. So he said, some of you receiving some of that might receive some of that. Another Jesus or another spirit and so on. And he goes on and says, some of you might accept it. You might well bear with him. Then he says, for I suppose I was not a whit behind in the very chiefest apostle. And he said, though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly manifest among you in all things. And he said, have I committed an offense in abasing myself, that you might be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? Amen. I believe I'll stop off there. Then he goes on, he robbed the church of whatever. He preached to the people, and he says there's a spirit goes with this. And some thought that Paul was trying to be something that he wasn't. But Paul said, let me give you a little rundown here, and we won't get it all this morning because we're going on to the marriage part. He began to tell him, I know a man about 14 years ago. He said, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. But said he was picked all the way up into the third heavens and saw things that's not even profitable or lawful to talk about now. Amen. And he said, these fellas come by and they claim to be this, they claim to be Jews, and they claim to be all this. He said, well, let's just look at it then. He said, you want to talk about the law? He said, I was Pharisees. And a Pharisee, and says, kept the law without blame. And he said, I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. Amen, and all that. But the point being here is this. That's not what this is about. God blinded them, cut them off. Now he's going to get a bride, and that's why he sent me from. He said, I am the apostle to the Gentile. I magnify my office, say. Now, let's go to Romans, the 15th chapter. I just want to read something here just a moment to bring in on this message. A very, very good scripture, I think here. I love this scripture. In Romans here, the 15th chapter. Now, the first verse 8 of this, Romans 15, verse 8, I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to read it. It says, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcised for circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promise that was made to the fathers. Now, the promise that was made to the fathers, he's speaking here about the promise made to David, Abraham, and the promise that God made to Israel. Jesus Christ came, and he preached the gospel. He was a minister to the circumcision. And that's strictly Jews, see, in that day and hour. But I want you to watch now. coming on over to, he goes on down, tell about the Gentiles. Paul finds scripture where it would, the Gentiles was going to accept the word. And I'm trying to hurry just a bit here because I want to get on the part for us more. I'm going now to Romans the 14th verse. I'll pick up there. It says, Paul speaking, "And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you are full of goodness, filled with a knowledge, able to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sorts, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that God has, that is given to me of God." Now Paul said, God give me a special grace. And here, next verse tells what the grace is, special grace that God gave me. Watch now. That I, him alone, amen, wasn't two on the way to Damascus, got knocked down, just Paul. Amen, wasn't two picked up in the third heaven, just Paul. It wasn't a large group, amen, there was one Christ. Amen. Colossians, and I'll bring this in. I may read today if we get along that far. In the book of Colossians, Paul said, "That which is lacking of the suffering of Christ, Colossians 1:24, is made up in my body, that I should suffer for His body's sake." Amen. For the church, which is, in other words, Christ is in me doing the talking. Amen. Now watch what he said next. "That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentile, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be accepted, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore whereof that I may glory through Jesus Christ in the things which pertaineth to God." In other words, the things that pertaineth to God for the Gentiles, God has put them in this vessel. Amen. And that's why he said, "I can glory through that." But watch as he reads on. "For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which God has not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed." And then he continues, "Through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and from Eliscon have I fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation." Now what he's saying here, God has made me the minister of Jesus Christ, and I can't build upon another man's foundation. Amen. Because this message is special. It's a standalone. Amen. Don't have to be propped up. God has sent me to get a bride, a spouse to Christ. Amen. As a virgin, that he said that I might present you to Christ as a chaste virgin. Amen. And his message came that far. Praise the Lord. So as he came with a message, a lot of it, now I want you to notice, there was no book wrote for the Gentiles. Amen. The Old Testament was for the Jews. Not that there isn't things in there that we get. There's still some of it hadn't been fulfilled. And it speaks from time to time what God will do for the Gentiles. But for the instruction and the message and the Spirit, amen, it had to come right down as God cut the Jews off. He reached over, and the book 11th chapter of Romans brings it in different ways. Talks about the branch being broke off, amen, and the wild olive branch be grafted in. Amen. One night Barbara had a dream, and she was telling me, says, I don't know what it means, but says, like an old prophet came to me and said, "Are you a tree or are you a branch?" And she looked him right in the eye and said, "I am a branch growing out of a tree." Amen. Well, see, that's exactly the 11th chapter of the book of Romans, where he says he grafted us in that we could get the fatness of the roots and everything, amen, to become part of what God, the promise that God made to Abraham. It's all through the message that God sent by St. Paul. Amen. Now I want to go to 2 Corinthians again here just a little bit. And I haven't even got to the place where the end time marriage taking place, but this is very important right here for us to see how the word came and see how it's coming in this day and in this hour. Amen. So go to 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, and we'll just start begin verse 1. Amen. Remember, there's a message to get apostolic ministry, to get the bride introduced to Christ. But in the end time, God reinstates those offices. Amen. We go back to Ephesians 4 where He brings them offices and set them in church, and there's a message. Amen. To complete the marriage and complete what God started off through Paul. Amen. It'll have similar, it'll be a similar message. Let's read here. Paul says, do we begin again to command ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistle or letter of commendation to you, or letter of condemnation from you? In other words, do we need somebody to write and tell you who we are and what we are and all this? Amen. No. God tells who He is, and God tells in this hour who we are. Amen. The Word says the Lord knows them that are His, and He also knows those that are not His. Amen. Christ knows the girl that He was engaged to. Amen. Now again, I want to bring this in, so lest you think that we're not considering it. There's people that say, if you're saved and born again, you cannot be lost. But everybody that's saved and born again is not part of the bride of Christ. Amen. He sends a message like He did in the days of Paul. See, in the days of Paul, there was people there that began to pull aside. Paul said, there's some among you that as soon as I'm gone, they ain't going to do it now. They can't do it. But as soon as I'm gone, they'll rise and draw disciples after themselves. But the bride will stay with the Word. Therefore, you get your foolish virgin. People will come up there at the beginning of the millennial reign, those that have died all through them ages. Amen. But the bride goes up. Those that have died in, that's part of the bride of Christ, they'll come up. The dead in Christ is going to rise. Amen. And then together, it says, we'll get together right here on this earth with all those that have gone. I'm talking about the bride saints. I'm not talking about others. Amen. See, there'll be others. The 11th chapter of the book of Revelation tells about a resurrection where they'll come forth. And then the 19th chapter, the 20th chapter of Revelation shows the saints, the tribulation saints, and all them, everybody that has life in any measure will come up and live in that millennia, but they won't be the bride, say. Amen. How many sees it? This bride is something special. It was in the days of Paul. Hallelujah. Because when God took Paul off the scene, there was some just stayed right with it, but others began to spread out, go different ways, and then that's where your 7 church age messengers come. All the way through, they post through that. And then He's going to bring it back. He said, I will restore, saith the Lord. He sent a prophet messenger to this age. He reached back and He finished up what that was. Let us know why. Amen. But then the mighty angel come down and He brings a little book. The book we just finished this week. The little book is taken out of the big book. Resurrected out of it. There's life in that little book. Is not for everyone. Everyone can't eat it. Everyone can't recognize it. And there's very few that even know that He's here. Some people are still looking for him to come. Well, the bride knows that her bridegroom is here, and he is talking to her. He's giving her the little book, amen, and she's eating it. She's enjoying it. She's receiving from God, amen, the good things of the Lord. Okay, let me read you. Watch verse 2. It says, "Ye are our epistles, written in our heart, known and read of all men." In other words, epistle means letter. That was a letter. But see, it's not a natural letter that the words wrote on. It's preached, revelated word. Hallelujah. Just like God's giving today in the days of Paul. Many of the things Paul said, he could not read it nowhere. See, there's a ministry, but they can't see this. They're not supposed to be part of it. Some people say, how come this and don't see it? How come that and don't see it? Everyone will see it that's supposed to. Amen. There was a spirit that went with a message that Paul preached, and it reached out and it gathered everything to it that was supposed to be gathered to it. Amen. And he came out and he preached the word, and he spoke the word as Christ spoke through him. See? Amen. And everything he said in preaching the word of God and the prophetic things that he laid out there, amen. It was just as important if Christ himself had stood here and spoke. There was no difference. It's the same thing in this day and hour that we're living, the ministry that God has sent to get you married to Christ. Amen. It reaches out and gathers in. You can't help but believe it. Amen. Because it's in you from the foundation of the world. That's why Paul said, "Ye are my epistle. You are the Word." Amen. Amen. That's what Jesus was, the Word made flesh. Let's get the next verse now. Verse 3 here. "For as much as we are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, for as much as ye are," or let me get, I got my mark, my word Bible. "For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the minister of Christ, by epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of your heart." Fleshly tables of the heart. Now I want you to know, Paul preached, he said, now you ain't going to say what chapter and what verse that's from. He said, this is Jesus Christ talking to you. Hallelujah. This is written in your heart. It's not written in tables of stones. It's not written something else. He says written in your heart. In other words, you know what's going on because it's in you, and you can't help but say amen to the word. Amen. Then he goes on and he says, "And such we trust, such we have through, and such trust we have through Christ to Godward." He says, and not that we're sufficient of ourselves. In other words, this is not us. This is not ourselves. We can't even do what's being done to think anything of ourselves. But our sufficiency is of God, see. Amen. That's one thing every preacher that preaches this message has to recognize, that our sufficiency is of God. It ain't how educated you are, how much you know. Amen. The main thing is, do you know Christ? Somebody said, well, I know the word real good, preacher. Well, amen. I know the letter of the word. And they said, one man, if the Bible got destroyed, he could about write another. Amen. Well, it's one thing to know the word. It's another thing to know Christ. Amen. I might not know so much of how to quote things. Amen. But I know him real well. Amen. Now watch as we read the next verse. I really want you to get this one. Here's what able ministers of this message preach. Paul is saying, "Who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament." There was no New Testament wrote when Paul was saying this. Amen. What is the New Testament? He said in the book of Hebrews, Paul goes over it again. He said he would write his laws in your mind and in your heart. He said, I'll make a new covenant with you and that I'll put my laws in your mind and in your heart. And God knew that there was some time allowed before the wedding take place because He had you and I here. He had those back before us. Amen. They've gone on laying in the ground waiting. Amen. So the marriage was held off till the season came when all of them would be ready to go up, see. Amen. So notice what it says. Abel ministered of the New Testament, not of the letter. Now you might say, preacher, shouldn't we preach it from the Bible? Yes. If you get that spiritual revelation, amen, the Spirit that overshadows it. But you can take the letter of the Word and preach it, amen, all the day long, preach it till you turn blue in the face, amen, and only carnal people will hear it. Amen. Because the letter of the Word become the tree of knowledge. Paul's message in our day, in our age, if we don't go no further than that, it becomes a tree of knowledge and you don't even have to be saved to preach it. Amen. You don't even have to be called to preach it. All you got to do is know how to read and know how to talk. Amen. Amen. It's a tree of knowledge. That's what God says. Now, you can't just eat the tree of knowledge. It's got to be connected with the tree of life. Amen. And the life is the Spirit of the Word. The Word and the Spirit has to come together. The little book comes out of the big book, and it's all spiritual Word. Amen. Now, watch here. Now, the Abel ministered not of the letter, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. Now, what did he say about the tree of knowledge? The day you eat thereof, that day you shall die. Amen. And you can eat of this without the Spirit of God. It'll only make you, Paul said, some get knowledge to get puffed up. Amen. How many of you see people go around with the Bible and think they know it? They're so puffed up. They don't think, well, they've been doing eating the tree of knowledge. And the Bible says, if you eat that tree of knowledge, you'll die. Amen. It has to have the Spirit of God connected to it. The tree of knowledge and the tree of life has to be put together. Yes, we need the knowledge of the Word. Amen. But the knowledge of the Word without the Spirit, it only kills us. Amen. All right, so we see the way Paul's message came. It weren't something that was wrote. It weren't something that he could refer back to so much. Amen, but it was something that came directly from heaven. Now, we look back in the Ephesians here. There's two places here I want to read. I'm not even going to read about the fivefold ministry, but there is a verse 11 I've read about it so many times. I've read about it so many times, I get embarrassed reading it so much. Amen. So we know what it says, he gave some apostles and go on. But let's get down on the till verse 12, Ephesians 4, verse 12. The ministry is given, the evangelist, the pastor, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And watch, it's going to be here till. Now that till means there's coming a change from Paul's time. Amen. There's the second level of the fivefold ministry comes in, or the perfecting level, the matured level, and it will cause a people, the bride, to build up till they are absolutely the body of Christ walking around here in earth. And they will be led and by Christ so much they'll be called the man Christ Jesus. Just like Adam and Eve, they have one man, one name. They call their name Adam, see. Amen. We're married to Him. We take on His name. That's why I always say, amen, we got to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in this hour. To even put you in the running, we'd say. Amen. But let's read verse 13 here. It says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Now watch, here's what we come to. Unto a perfect man. Now here, Paul talked about a virgin engaged. But now, here in the end time, in this prophetic word that he's laying in, he's called the man Christ. Now, what would make him do that? We become bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Hallelujah. Spirit out of spirit, word out of his word, and we reach the fullness means that we think and talk exactly like Christ. If he was here, he would do no different. And when you come to the church here to come together, you come expecting Christ to speak to you just as if he was here to begin with. I was preaching in a meeting, a little church, well, it was over in South Carolina. Sister Margaret, Martha Sugar, one that came regularly, and she went and said, Lord spoke, I'm going to give you a vision. And all of a sudden, there she was sitting in the church. And said, people began to look back and said, she thought, well, that's not being polite. They shouldn't do that. While Brother Ben preaching, they ought not be looking back there. But curiosity got the best of her. She looked back and said, there sat the Lord Jesus Christ. As I was up preaching, he was sitting there nodding his head. Amen, amen, all right. Praise God. It wasn't a dream, it was a vision. God said, I'm going to give you a vision, show you that. Amen. That's what we got to come to the house of God for, is to hear the voice of God. Hallelujah. As it speak, as it thunder forth, as it brings the message, as he brings the message to complete the marriage for every member. So here he said we reached the fullness of until we reach the fullness. Amen. Reach the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now when we get to the fullness, where can we go? Amen. When you fill a glass up and it gets full of water, what happened to it? It just pours over the edge, doesn't it? It's full. And he said, there's going to be a people, the wife of Christ, that's going to be bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. We read the other week. We'll get in just a moment of the thing. Amen. And he said, they will have the fullness of Christ. That mighty angel come down in Revelation chapter 10, verse 1. Amen. That's the spirit of the body that comes down and we're baptized into it and become that. Amen. That's the spirit of what we become. The spirit of Christ. Alright. Amen. 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 Alright, I want to read just nothing here. Reach the book. And then when this happened, we don't watch this. Before I read verse 14, we don't have to worry anymore about being deceived. You can go sit somewhere, if you so mind, I hope you don't. But hear someone preach something, and something about just ain't, they can read the scripture, and they can say hallelujah, they can say glory to God, and they can talk in tongue. Amen, but that's leading away a little bit, you'll know it. Amen. You cannot be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water. Amen. Watch what verse 14 says here. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. You can't be anymore. And carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Notice that. By the sleight of men. Like somebody. There's people today. I saw them on TV. That can, by the sleight of the hand, they call it. And they had one man on there. And he could get their billfold. And he even took a watch off the hand. And they didn't even know it, you know. The way he worked around the, by the sleight of the hand, see. And like cards. Playing cards, put the one in, and all that.
Amen. But see, he said when you reach the fullness of Christ, it ain't going to feel right because you got the Spirit of God, you got the Word of God, and you got the Spirit of the message, and you're going to know. Amen. You cannot be tossed to and fro. Amen. Anymore. And then he says, here's what the preachers can do. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in him in all things, which is ahead, even Christ. Now watch. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That body that came back, that spirit, it will take within it every living soul that's to be the bride, and everyone that's already passed on through the ages that's part of the bride. That will be a perfect man, Christ Jesus. When the wife goes up, she's not going to be a missing an arm. She's not going to be a missing an ear. She's not going to be a missing a nose. Everything from the days of Paul all the way up to here. Amen. He said you'll get together. And together you'll go up when that body goes up. Hallelujah. Then you'll meet the literal Lord Jesus in the air. Hallelujah. Amen. Your God being so good to us, send a message, give us marriage cry. Now I want to read again, and there's more I could comment on this, but here in the fifth chapter, just a few verses, and then I want to read about the marriage. See, he sent a message in the days of Paul to get the engagement. Apostolic message. And there's apostolic message in this hour to get the wife totally married and it all wind up, sealed up. Do you take this man to become your husband? Do you take this woman to become your wife? Pronounce the marriage vows just as Paul got engaged. And there's a marriage take place where, and then, now I want to say this, don't miss this point. Then, and only then, do you become bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, spirit of his spirit, word of his word. Amen. A marriage has to be consummated, and that's what's taking place with this message. Amen. Amen. Watch what it says here in Ephesians. It goes about the man, woman, a great mystery. But let's pick up Ephesians 5:30. Remember, every member now, every member, when it reached the fullness, every member's in. And it says here, for we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bone. That's after all the members have been baptized into the body of Christ. Amen. Not one missing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We're members of his body. Notice what it says. For this cause, then he quotes back to what God said in the original beginning. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall be joined. Now, just not giving her a ring. Now, this joined is not being given her a ring. The Bible says he that is joined to the Lord's one spirit. Say, amen. Man leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife. And they two shall be one flesh. Now I want to say this. There's no marriage vows that I can pronounce that can make you man and wife. Amen. I can give you ceremonies. That's just like the Word. It takes what's in your heart. Amen. It takes God joining you together. Amen. And when He does, He joins body, spirit, soul, and mind. You'll think alike, talk alike, act alike. Amen. You might not like to eat the same things all the time. You might not eat the same ice cream. But you're one. Amen. There's a love. Amen. And you're... Well, let's see what Paul said about here. Going on, verse 32. It says... Verse 32. This is a great mystery. That's how man and woman come. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Amen. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular, so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverences her husband. In other words, they're just one unit. Amen. He called their name Adam. Amen. When they were married, she became bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, spirit of his spirit. Amen. We're married to Christ. That verse 30 there says, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. Amen. We're all of that. There's one other scripture I want to get in the 19th chapter. We've read many, many times over. But on this now, here's where we're coming. Paul didn't bring us here. Paul knew nothing about it. He knew a marriage was taking place, but he didn't know nothing about the book of Revelation. Did you know Paul's writings were written and completed? And he passed off the scene then 30 years later. Approximately 30 years later, there was an old man on the Isle of Patmos. And God was going to use that man to type out what would happen to the bride. Amen. Use that old man. He was about 100 years old. Amen. But God kept his mind just as sharp as he could be. Amen. I think he went back after the Isle of Patmos for 2 or 3 years there. I believe, according to secular history, that he went and pastored a church there in Ephesus, the Ephesus church, for maybe a couple of years or something. But see, God used him. Amen. And in him is typed out Christ and the bride united together. See, that's when John went, the mighty angel came to John and a voice from heaven, the Almighty authorized it and put it in motion. Said, go take the little book and eat it. Amen. And John went and took the little book and ate it. And then he said, there I must prophesy again to all nations, kindred, and tongue. Amen. Everything was represented there in John. Hallelujah. He ate the book. He saw Christ coming. He saw the seals open. Amen. And all these things. And was about to write what the seals was. And God said sealed up because it dealt with a church going through 7 church ages. And the time period and all what God's going to do. And had he wrote it, they would have known in the 5th church age that we've got to be here for so many more 100 years. So many more church ages. It's another 2,000 years. But no, everyone went down in the ground expecting the rapture to take place. So when they get up, it'll be as though they just went in and come out. Amen. You might say to one of them old saints, when did you get here? This morning. This morning. That's why I said, David said, take the wings of the morning. Morning is light, a new day. Fly to the othermost parts of the world. Amen. See, time is no more when you cross over the veil of this mortal flesh. Amen. If it's 9 o'clock this morning, 5,000 years later, it's going to feel like 9 o'clock this morning. Amen. It ain't going to be like you get impatient waiting. No. It's joy, peace, happiness. Amen. But that's another sermon altogether. But here, John, God's showing him what's going to happen as it winds up. In Revelation 19, and I want to begin reading verse 7. Now here's a message that have brought us this far. As Paul got us engaged, now there's a message got us married. Amen. And John writes, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. His wife has made herself ready. Amen. All the way through those ages. The same one that Paul introduced and God engages the same one that's marrying to Christ. It just came through the church ages. Some laying away. See, members of the body, see. Amen. The members, those early saints that Paul introduced, they'll say, yes, I'm ready to get married now. See, it won't be like they've been waiting 1,000 years, waiting for all the rest of us. But don't you love Jesus today? I'm going to read the rest of that scripture. But the thing about it is, see, he introduced, it's just like the engagement, then here come the marriage. Amen. And that was a message that Paul had. And that message had a spirit go with it. He said, if you receive another spirit, or if you receive another gospel, if you receive another Christ, all that, amen, that's when he was getting her engaged, a spouse, a virgin. And the same thing as he, as the circle come back full, as it come full circle, here's this apostolic office, amen, the one that Paul engaged, got a spouse now, bringing the message that will make you one with that Word, one with Christ, one with the Spirit. Amen. One.
Amen.
Now notice he said, his wife. Now notice here, that word wife's important. Now that word wife don't mean virgin. And that word wife don't mean a spouse or engagement. That word wife has all, it's part of that, but that was then, and this is now, see. Amen, the one that was engaged, the one that was a virgin has now become one with him, reached the fullness of the stature of the man, Christ Jesus, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Amen. And he said his wife, now she's calling her wife. Amen. His wife has made herself ready. And to her, not to anyone else, to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. In other words, that righteousness, if you go to take that to Romans 5th chapter, we'll find it talks about the gift of righteousness. It's something God gives, you can't work it out. Well, how do you make yourself ready? By accepting. You can't do it by work, it's by faith. You receive it and you say, Lord, I accept it. I believe, Lord, that I'm as righteous as you're righteous. I believe that I've become bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh. I believe that you've sent me a message and I've heard it. And there's a spirit goes with this message that have reached out and corralled me in. Amen. You're in bondage to the love of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. The Word. Now you can't be tossed to and fro. You're his wife. Amen. You're bone of his bone. You're flesh of his flesh. Amen. And when God looks down, he says, the man Christ Jesus, because we got all the attributes coming through us. And Paul said it's for a Gentile, not the Jews. It's not for tribulation saints. It's not for foolish virgins, but it's his wife, see. Amen. Oh, I love them Jews. They aggravate me. Amen. But I love them because I see they're the one that this thing sprang forth from them. And God cut them all that he could get his bride. Amen. Just like Joseph down in Egypt. Amen. He went and got his Gentile bride. Then later the brethren came in. Amen. And that Joseph revealed himself to them. Christ's going to reveal himself to Israel once he takes the bride out. Amen. It's Paul's continuing in the 11th chapter of Romans about God grafting it in again because it's original. Amen. If they continue not in unbelief, is not God able to graft them in again? Amen. When two prophets come, see, they'll say, we believe Moses. Moses said, offer a lamb. Moses said this. And Moses said, yes. Said, but that was only the type of the real lamb when he come. And Jesus Christ is the real lamb of God. And God will quicken that word and they'll believe it. God bless you today. Amen. How many sees a message to get us engaged to Christ? And then here in this end time, it goes into a different, higher level. It goes into a getting married instead of engaged. It goes from being a virgin to a wife. And here it is. Praise God. God's moving. God bless you today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you today, Lord, for your Word. Your many, many blessings, Lord, upon us. And thank you, Lord, for revealing it to us. And that sometimes we might not be able to turn to a chapter and verse, Lord. But you're talking. You're real, as you was in the days of Paul. Amen. You came back with the tree of life and the little book that you brought down. It was not available no other time till the time of the marriage because it contained the marriage vow. Amen, Lord. And the mighty angel bring them down. He said, go take the little book and eat it. And Lord, that we've done. And we've become one with you. Bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh. Dressed in fine linen, we got a revelation of that righteousness. That is not what we have done, will do, or is doing. Lord, it's by accepting what you've already done. Lord, I just pray now that this message go forth, Lord, that you will quicken it to the hearts of the hearers. And let them know they're part of the Spirit. If someone come with another Spirit, another Gospel, or another Jesus, Lord, they'll know because you reveal. Now bless us all together, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Love the bridegroom. I love him. I love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary Street. God bless you. Amen. Appreciate you.